Good morning. We're calling to order this Wednesday, May 25th, 2016 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Atahara-Taylor, who's at the controls for the hearing today. Begin with some general information. First, for the order of presentation, the applicant and or property owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. At this time, the project sponsor should also provide their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there's any public testimony in opposition, then the project sponsor will be allowed a three-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. At the end, I may either take a decision today, take the matter under advisement, or continue to a future date. There are no items on the consent calendar today, so I won't detail that. There's general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda today. Now, the criteria for justifying a variance. Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property right of subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Due to current backlogs, we have a backlog on decision letters up to 2 months from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to get a copy of the decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet on the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. It's very important because the appeal period begins from the date of the issuance of that decision letter, and there's a 10-day appeal period. Other items, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to meet and to discuss these cases, we request that that be done outside so as to avoid disturbing others. And the next variance is scheduled for June 22nd. Audio recordings of these hearings are available on our website as a link on the agenda. And now we can go on to our calendar.
First item on our regular calendar, item number one, case number 2016-000540-VAR. 812 Green Street, dwelling unit exposure variance sought. Project sponsor here?
Yes.
Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Hi, my name's Eric Dunn, and this is my wife, Liesa, my mother-in-law, my daughter, Edith, and my mom. My son can't be here. He's graduating from Sherman Elementary in about 20 minutes. Our family owns and lives in 812 through 816 Green Street. We're here to get a variance so we can install an elevator in our home so our family can move through it unimpeded. You already have a letter on file from my mom's doctor certifying her as disabled and requiring an elevator and parking. As you know, our home is also on a hill with a 25% grade. The variance will allow us to install an elevator as well as keep our parking. We're giving you the opportunity to do right by a San Francisco family that's trying to stay in our home in the city that we love. It's the least we can do for my mom. She carried me for 9 years. I can't carry her, but if you approve the variance, an elevator can. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Steven Sutro, and I'm the architect for the proposed project. The existing building and site present many difficulties. It's already a non-conforming in terms of rear yard setback and in terms of the open space requirements. The lot size and building are extremely small, especially for a three-unit building in an RM2 zoning district. The existing building is three levels plus a ground-level garage. The first level has a one-bedroom unit, and the upper two levels each have a two-bedroom unit. The owner's priority is to install an elevator that can serve all floors, but California State Building Code requires that a residential elevator serve only two units. Our proposal relocates unit 814 to the garden level so that the top two floors can function as one apartment, and the elevator will therefore service only these two, only two units in total. One would be the disabled person, and the other would be the remainder of the family that currently reside in two of the units inside the building on the upper two units. One of the difficulties we ran in the floor plan layout was to maintain the garage. With one of the occupants being disabled, this became a crucial element of the design because it allows her to be driven into the building and bypass the entrance stairs and reach the elevator. The garage occludes the garden-level apartment from having exposure to the street. This is why we are seeking a variance to Planning Code Section 140. We explored other options, including splitting the garden-level apartment between two levels or installing a commercial elevator, which would be able to serve all three, or would be able to serve three units. In both scenarios, we found that the building and lot were too small to accommodate and severely impacted the quality of the living spaces. A commercial elevator is much larger in footprint. We understand the purpose of the planning department's exposure requirement so that the quality of the interior living spaces will be of a certain standard, and it's a concern of ours as well. We wanted to make sure that the new unit would have ample natural light in the major living spaces. In this series of photos, you can see there's no difference in the quality of light and air from the existing unit to its proposed relocation. The proposal also includes adding a 750-square-foot deck to the roof. As we mentioned, the existing building is non-conforming to the open space requirement. By adding this roof deck, we are adding a substantial amount of open space with air and views for the occupants of each, for all of the units. Overall, we feel that with such a small lot and existing building and the fact that it is already non-conforming to several planning code requirements, we face many difficulties finding a configuration that would work with accessibility. We were able to find a layout that is more accessible for the disabled occupant and maintains quality living spaces overall for each of the units. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Zoning Administrator Sanchez, Tom Tunney of Rubin, Junius & Rose, on behalf of the project sponsor. And I just wanted to speak for a moment about how we got here procedurally. As stated, the objective here is to get an elevator in the home and provide access to a disabled resident in the home. We started this process with the elevator can only serve two units. This is a three-unit building. We started the process seeking a dwelling unit merger from three to two. And during the application and processing, the city adopted legislation making the merger very unlikely. So then we turned to the code's reasonable accommodation provisions, and it was indicated to us that those provisions wouldn't work for us. So then the variance became our most feasible legal means to achieve what I think everyone would agree is a worthy outcome here. So we urge your support of the variance. Thanks very much.
Thank you. So the building was at the end of the presentation?
Yes, it is.
So the building was purchased in, 2012? Is that correct? And so then as a three-unit building, and the 2013 application had the merger of the upper two units, which I understand the property owners have been occupying. That was initially going to be administratively approved given the value of the units. Those figures were changed. It was no longer eligible for administrative review. Then you were going to go through the process, and again, there were further code changes that makes it, you said, unlikely to get approved. That original application for the dwelling unit merger from 2013 had the upper two levels being merged into one, the lower level being untouched. I didn't see an elevator in that application. When did the elevator get added?
Needs have changed.
Okay.
No, the elevator was always in the application. That's what was driving the application from the very beginning.
Okay.
Something must be wrong or it didn't translate correctly, but it's always been the issue. My elevator engineer, who was a part of the due diligence before we bought the building, could probably speak to it. So I'm not sure what happened with the paperwork, but the intention was always the same. In fact, the needs, at the time, my father-in-law was in a...
If you could maybe come up to the microphone to be...
Sorry. It may not have translated to the paperwork, but at the time, my father-in-law was in a wheelchair. And so during the due diligence, we were trying to find a building to accommodate that because he was 100% in a wheelchair.
So during the due diligence with my elevator engineer, we determined that at that time we should be able to go forward with the first application. So it had always been our intention. Okay. Once my father-in-law died, we stalled the application, not knowing we couldn't get an elevator for him in it. That's just the process at the time. And so we stalled and waited. And then our life changed again, and our mother-in-law needed to come live with us, and so now we're here.
Right. Okay, thank
you. So I just want to be clear about that. I don't know how that's... From day one, before I purchased the building, during my due diligence, I determined an elevator could be there.
Okay, so I just didn't see them on the original plans from the 2013 application. But then that application also stated that there would be the tenant and the lower unit would remain. But now, what's the status of the tenant?
It's my mother-in-law's apartment.
But it said in the application from 2013 that there was a tenant in the unit.
It was at that time, is that right?
There was a tenant at that time. She's since moved.
Okay.
And my mother-in-law moved into the apartment.
Okay.
It is her home now.
Okay, so she's...
It's my mother-in-law's home. She's here.
She's occupying it now.
Yes.
Okay. And then the garden apartment, that will be a rental unit.
That's how we pay for the elevator.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on this item, on item number one for 812 Green Street? Seeing none, they close the public hearing. I am... concerned about the dwelling unit exposure requirement and the kind of decreasing the quality of one of the three units. This is very clearly an application to provide new family housing in terms of you've been using the upper two units, not very probably efficiently, but, you know, you've been trying to make it work to have family housing. You want to merge that. Given the history of the project, I would not oppose the variance. I would find that the five findings have been met. We'd be inclined to grant the requested variance. And public hearing is closed. We can move on to the next item.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Moving to item number two, case number 2016-001108 VAR, 2898 Vallejo Street, rear yard and side yards, variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes also.
Good morning. Thank you. I represent property owners Daniel and Gina Allegre, who seek to conduct work on their home to make it more livable and code compliant. The project has a very minimal impact on surrounding properties, and there is no opposition from neighbors. The family has three children and is about to have another, and the need for the variance is in part to have all of the living space on the fourth level. So it's a five-story home, but the main living level with the dining room and kitchen and that kind of thing is on the third level because of the slope of the lot. So what they seek is to do work on the property in order to have all the bedrooms with all the kids on the fourth level and then have a playroom and the additional small guest rooms on the fifth level. Gina is the sole caretaker for her kids, so it's really important for her to be able to have her bedroom and all the kids' bedroom on the same level, which is why the need for the work on the fourth floor. Let's see. So there are two... areas of variance request. The first is this infill in the side yard area, and that will infill a portion of the fourth, infill on the fourth floor and a portion of the fifth floor on the east side of the building in the 5 foot setback area. That's a level that's already infilled on lower levels, and so the sponsor seeks with the addition just to extend that infill up to the height of the fifth floor. Again, there's no opposition from the neighboring property on that request. It's important to note that the existing stairs connecting the fourth and fifth floors are not code compliant, and one of the things that the project seeks is to install safe and code compliant stairs. Because of the historic nature of the house, it's really hard to maneuver adding and taking things away in there, which is why the stairs are in the location that they're requested. The infill area between the new stair and the existing structure on the east side is used as a closet. The total infill addition is 301 square feet, but only 141 square feet is subject to the variance. Let's see. And to give you a view of what that will look like, the stairs, the existing roof is 40 feet. The stairs will be within that 40-foot height, and so you can see where the stairs only come up to the 40-foot height of the roof. To give you an idea of the impact on the roof, this is a diagram showing the existing items that rise above the 40-foot roof height. And actually, most of these will be removed as part of the project. And then this is what the roof will look like after the project. So you see that the items that are above the 40-foot height limit are still well under the 20% permitted under the code. The second item of the variance is to put a playroom on the fifth floor, and that they're going to dormer up into the attic on the north side of the home that faces the rear yard. There's a non-conforming rear yard currently, and the dormer will extend slightly more into that non-conforming rear yard. And the attic area will be converted into a family room. The dormer size is 8 feet 9 inches by 25 feet 2 inches long, and even the top of the dormer will be 6.5 inches below the existing roof ridge line. So again, kind of minimal impact on surrounding houses and the street front. And we actually have some renderings showing the impact on the street front. So you can see right-hand side is existing, left-hand side is proposed. And so there's a, you know, quite minimal impact on the street front. And those changes have been supported by the department in terms of historic review.
This, I'm Human Sharif, the architect of the project. Just a small correction. We were working with preservation at planning. So the size of the dormer actually reduced to 20 feet instead of 25 feet. And I think the key feature, as Jody mentioned, is that my client, they have four kids, and no matter what's the size of the house, they want to make sure that they have all the kids in the same floor, and that's the main reasoning behind the expansion on the east side, and also have them a family room upstairs that can all gather in the same place.
Okay, thank you. So what's the total size of the existing building, square footage?
The existing building is 13,700 square feet.
And how many square feet is the fourth floor?
The fourth floor is 3,040.
To 3,000 square feet on that existing, and okay. How many bedrooms do you need to be accommodated in that space?
It is, the way it is designed, it is three bedrooms, one master bedroom and two bedrooms that are getting shared. Two kids are going to share each bedroom.
Okay. And, I mean, most of the variance at that point is the side yard, which are any of the bedrooms actually in the side yard?
Not the bedroom, but the bathroom connected to the bedroom is in the side yard. And plus this, the code-compliant staircase that's going to connect.
And you said the existing stairs aren't code-compliant. Were they constructed with permit, or are they just substandard to current code? I mean, when you say they're
substandard to current code.
But they were built under appropriate code at the time, presumably.
I don't know what was the code that, and I cannot verify it, but it is shown in the original plans of the house.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment.
Sorry, could I just make one? Sorry, we're tag teaming here a little bit. One comment on the existing on the fourth floor. One of the bedrooms is very small, and so because there will be four children, they're going to have kids sharing bedrooms, and so one of the current bedrooms you just can't put two beds in. So they need to configure that space in order to have all the kids on that floor.
And could that be done within the existing building envelope?
We worked very hard on it. Although the footprint or the floor plate of that floor seems large, but there is a very large staircase in the middle of it, and the majority of that space is just a circulation space. So you end up for getting light and air that building department requests us for having bedrooms. We need to push the bedrooms to the sides, and essentially the center of that floor plate cannot be used to locate bedrooms.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item number 2 for 2898 Vallejo Street? Seeing none, close the public hearing.
I don't think that the all five findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. It's my understanding that residential design team also has some concerns about the project. I would not be supportive of this variance. I don't think all the findings can be met. And we can close public hearing and move on to the next item. Thank you.
Item number 3, case number 2015-016087 VAR, 22-55 Whaler Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Zoning Administrator. My name is Eric Jacobs. I'm here on behalf of the First Baptist Church. Our project proposes a variance from the required rear yard setback requirements outlined in Section 134 and permitted obstructions in Section 136 of the San Francisco Planning Code for the installation of two accessible ADA chairlifts located in the required 45% rear yard setback in an RTO district. Let's see how this
shows up.
The two accessible chairlifts are located at the rear of this merged lot, which currently has four buildings on it. One is a firehouse, preschool, a meeting office building, and a worship building, all owned by the First Baptist Church and containing the Chinese American School. Currently, both the preschool building and the office building are not ADA accessible, so there's no accessible path of travel from the rear parking lot where the accessible parking stalls are located into those buildings. We searched long and hard for a location for chairlifts that did not require variance, but given to the large rear yard setbacks in an RTO district, given the historic nature of the building and the practical difficulty of locating an ADA path of travel in any other location, these were the locations that were chosen for these ADA lifts. I don't think I need to take any more of your time with this.
Well, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on item number 3 for 22. Well, I think that address can be quite right. But for Waller Street, is there any public comment? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance to provide ADA accessibility to the subject property. We can move on to the next item.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Item number 4, case number 2015-005170 VAR. 434 3rd Avenue, rear yard and exposure variances sought. Project sponsor?
Oh, yeah, we can move on. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay, item number 4 is not quite ready, so we're moving to item number 5, case number 2015-010729 VAR, 1359 Mina Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor here. You have 5 minutes. Please approach the mic.
My architect is on the way. He's running late. Can I
push one
for a few
minutes? Okay. Sure. But we don't have many left.
Moving to item number 6. Item number 6, case number 2015-007695 VAR, 253 Fixley Street, front setback variance sought.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Robert Edmonds. I'm with Edmonds and Lee Architects. I am the architect working on the project before you at 253 Pixley Street. Today we are seeking a variance to Section 132 of the Zoning Code for front setback requirements. Just to give you some context on the project under this permit, what we have here is a very small house. The existing house is only 805 square feet or so. It also sits on a substandard lot, which is very small. The lot dimensions are 26 feet wide by 50 feet deep, with a parcel area of 1,300. So essentially, it's a very small house on a very small parcel. Our clients are wanting to enlarge the house to meet the needs of their family. And so what we're proposing under this permit is a vertical addition of a third floor, as well as a horizontal addition at the front. The rear yard will not be encroached upon. It will be preserved, and there's no work under this permit in the rear yard. On this slide here, you can see the lot here, this being Pixley Street here. with the rear yard, and this is the area right here that is under the scope of the work of the variance. Focus problem. What you can see in this slide here is a street of Pixley Street. Our project is right here in the center. Again, the scope of work that we're proposing is that the gable roof will be removed, we'll have a third floor addition, and that we would add some area in the front there. A couple aspects I'd like to point out in this slide that are prevalent along the street is that there is a precedent for a continuous kind of street frontage, with many of the properties being built right up to the property line, similar to kind of what we're proposing. The other aspect I'd like to point out is that to the east of us is a one-unit building, and to the west of us is actually a three-unit building, which is a through-lot block. It fronts on Filbert Street, but it has parking on the rear on Pixley Street. This is another image of the street with, again, our property right in the center here with our neighbor to the east and neighbors to the west. In terms of the proposed project, this is an image of what we're proposing, and the subject of the work under the variance today is really just this area right here, this three-story volume over the garage. In terms of the compliance and why this presents a hardship for us, as I mentioned, the site is extremely narrow, and what we're trying to achieve is taking a one-car parking garage and turning it into a two-car parking garage. We would like to, because the site is also very small, the house is very small, the new house will only end up being about a little bit over 2,000 square feet. We'd like to carry that two-story volume above the garage as well and be included in part of the variance. As you know, there are two ways we can comply with Section 132. The first method is the method of averaging, and that presents a hardship for us in the sense that this would be our setback line, which is the average between the two properties. And if we were not to get that space as part of the project, it would compromise the parking. The other aspect is that, again, it is a very small house, and so we're fighting for every inch possible on this parcel. The other way we could comply, which also presents a hardship for us, is the alternate method of averaging. Under this method of compliance, we actually could comply with the three-story volume. The hardship that we have is that in order to comply, the eastern part of the building would need to align with the eastern neighbor, which it currently doesn't. So it extends about 10 inches in front of it. So to comply with that also presents a hardship in that we would have to remove a substantial part of the existing building and basically turn it into tantamount to a demolition. So that concludes my presentation. We don't think there's any detrimental aspects to the public, to the neighborhood. We think it's a very minor request for variance, and we hope it will be considered available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Do the property owners currently reside at this location?
They do not reside in the location. They reside elsewhere in San Francisco, and so the intent is they'll be moving from their house in San Francisco to this property upon completion.
Okay. And we did receive a complaint that the building was being used illegally as a short-term rental.
I can't comment on the legality of it. They are renting it.
Okay.
As you can appreciate, the permitting process is lengthy here, and so they don't want to leave a house sitting empty. Okay. I know that they're using it also for their family members. They have various family members that are from out of town that come and visit and use it as well.
Okay. And construction, if the project is approved, construction would commence soon, we would say?
We hope we're in the middle of our 311 notification. I believe it will close on June 10th. So we have every intention of going forward upon completion, provided there's no request for DR.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 6 for 253 Pixley Street. Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing. I would be inclined to grant the requested front setback variance given the lot dimensions and also the relationship to the adjacent properties. Then we can move on to, or we can go back to, I don't know if anyone from items.
Let's move to item 7 and go back.
Sounds good.
So item number 7, case number 2015-016017 VAR. 4229 20th Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you also have 5 minutes, sir.
Hello, my name is Oscar Rojas, and I'm the homeowner at the property. My wife and I occupy the, there's four units in this property. My wife and I occupy the top level, which is the one where we're currently seeking the variance. There are kind of three small elements to this variance. The first one has to do with an existing shed roof over the rear of the unit. You know, here you can see the shed roof. All we want to do is to extend the existing gable over most of the property just to reach the rear part of the roof, as you see here, just so that the ceiling height is uniform inside. We're not extending the existing structure into the rear setback any more than it already is. The second component that we have is this is the current layout, and this is the proposed layout. The difference between these two is that we're moving this wall up by 2 feet in order to create a more livable kitchen, dining, and living room space for our unit. This still complies with the side yard setback requirements, and the reason for this is that we reconfigured this unit to be a three-bedroom, two-bath. My wife and I want to start a family, and we really want to maximize every square foot that we have in this property. So we wanted to get three bedrooms, two baths into this unit, and that's why we did a open, combined kitchen, dining, living area. The total square footage of the unit is 1,200, so we know that it's going to be a compact space. So getting this extra 2 feet along the side would allow us to have a livable and usable kitchen, living, dining. And then the ceiling height, continuing it with the existing gable, will allow us to just have uniform ceiling height in that back part of the building.
Thank you. Do you currently reside on the property?
We're currently finishing a remodel, but we're going to be moving in right when we finish.
Okay. After this work would be?
Well, we have a separate permit that's currently for interior work only. So we haven't done anything with this. And, of course, once, hopefully this is approved, we'll finish this part of the project and then move in after we finish. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Is there any public comment on this item, on item number 7 for 4229 20th Street? Seeing no public comment, we close public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on back to items 4 and 5, I think.
Great, thank you.
Is item number 4 ready? Oh, he just passed. Item number 5? Okay, so item number 5, case number 2015-010729VAR, 1359 Mina Street, rear yard variance sought. Please approach the mic, you have 5 minutes. Speak to the mic.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Brian Kaufman. I am the project architect for the renovation that we are doing at 1359 Minna Street. The existing building is a three-story structure, three stories of residential units over a single story, which is currently classified as a basement. And the project is to add an additional dwelling unit into the basement level of the building, which is now being classified as the first floor, and then to renovate and do a horizontal addition onto the rear of the building for the upper three units. The existing building has a stair built into the required rear yard, and that stair serves the means of second exiting for the three units in the building. And as part of the renovation of the building, we are proposing to relocate that stair so that it will also be located within the required rear yard. However, we are proposing to shift that stair to the side property line rather than have the stair located in the middle as it is on the existing site plan. And we believe that the benefit to this is that the building adjacent to us at 1355 Minna Street is a two-story full-lot building and has a pretty substantial wall running across to the entire length of the property to the rear lot line, and is thus is basically an interruption to the rear yard pattern on the block. And I have an aerial image showing that here. So this is our subject building right here, and this is the building which extends all the way through the lot next door to us and basically cuts off any open space pattern that exists within the block here. And the open space pattern, which is here, is a relatively narrow one with a lot of the buildings extending very close to the rear yard, rear property line of the buildings. And a lot of these buildings don't have complying rear yards themselves. In moving the stair over, we basically create a larger, more usable and enjoyable yard space for the people who will be living in the dwelling units on the property. And so that will meet some of our usable open space requirement. And then an additional part of that variance is to create a stairway going from the top floor of the building up to the roof so that the tenants might all also access a roof deck, which we built on the main roof of the building and would serve the remainder of the usable open space requirements for the project. So as part of the conditions for this project, it is not possible for us to have a single stair serving exiting for a four-story building. So we have basically the need to maintain the two fire stairs that exist, and we feel that shifting the fire stair over to the side of the property directly adjacent to the building, which has full lot coverage, this would better serve the project and would prove better than the existing situation of locating the stair directly in the middle of the open space, where it provides a greater interruption to the overall pattern on the block.
Thank you. So the existing building is three units, and are they all occupied at this time?
They are vacant.
They're all vacant?
Yeah.
Okay. And there had been one comment we received about concerns about displacement of tenants of the units. How long have they been vacant for?
The building was vacant when I began working on this back in April of 2014, so.
It was vacant when I purchased it 2.5 years ago, approximately.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. See if there's any public comment on the item number 5 for 1359 Minna Street. Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the shorter than typical lot depth at 80 feet and also the existing front setback of between 8 and 10 feet for the building, which is a potential historic resource and limits the amount of development that can otherwise occur in what would be the buildable area. Thank you.
Thank you.
Last item on our calendar, item number 4, case number 2015-005170VAR. 434 3rd Avenue, rear yard and exposure variance is sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. We are requesting a rear yard variance for the existing main structure. Currently, the existing building extends about 4 inches over the required rear yard, and we'd like to keep the main building intact. The building is being lifted up about 4 feet to provide parking. There's a non-conforming structure, a shed. That that is also being lifted up, the 4 feet, and as you can see right here, that's the shed. And for the non-conforming structure, we'd like to add another floor to provide more living space and another bedroom area. We initially had requested our 12-foot bump out past the rear yard with 5-foot setback clearances, but this wasn't granted. And as a return, they said we could lift this structure up plus add the third floor. It doesn't intensify the site since it is set back 5 feet on one side and about... and then about 12 feet on the other, so it wouldn't create any shadows on the adjacent properties. And that's it.
Thank you. So there's no work being done at the rear building, right? All the work is at the front building.
Right, the front. So, yeah, the added floor would be just for the second unit on the front building.
And then is the existing building at the front occupied at this time? Or
It is, yeah. It's occupied. The owners are right there. Just the one floor is. Currently, the upper unit is not occupied. And the rear building is not occupied either.
Okay. So their intention is to do the remodel and then to rent out all the units? Or
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you. Is there any public comment on this item, number 4, for 434 3rd Avenue? Seeing none, public hearing is closed. Being inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the existing legal non-compliant building at the rear, which reduces the buildable area, and it's an otherwise modest expansion and modification of the existing building at the front, triggering the rear yard variance. So public hearing is closed. This is the last
item.
So.
Yes. We'll meet again on June 22nd.
Yeah, next hearing is June 22nd. Is there any general public comment? Seeing none, this public hearing is closed. Thank you. Wow.